See all of your smiling faces here this morning. Thank you for coming. I appreciate it. I would like to call the ushers forward for a minute. Could I snag a couple of ushers? Don't mean to throw this on you, but at the same time, I mean to throw this on you. So, we have a handout today, and hopefully we have enough as the ushers hand those out to our lovely congregants. Thank you so much for coming here this morning. We appreciate it. Guys, can you believe it? We are less than a month away from our big back-to-school lot party, and so we're excited about that. If you haven't signed up, make sure that you stop at the Welcome Center. We've been collecting school supplies, and I'm excited. I think that it's going to be a great year for us. So, all right. So we have been wrestling through some tough topics at church, and I've just been kind of wrestling with some things, and I think today is probably a little bit more of a topical message rather than an expository message, and so topical messages typically aren't my strong suit, and so bear with me, but I feel like it's something that we should talk about. And so we've been wrestling through over the last 3 weeks, we've been wrestling with some tough questions. And so 2 weeks ago, we wrestled with us having doubts. And we talked about how having doubts doesn't disqualify us from following Jesus, but it's often through wrestling with our doubts that we develop a closer relationship and a stronger faith in Jesus. And so we wrestled with doubts a couple weeks ago. Last week we talked about, are there many ways to heaven? Do you guys remember the message? We talked about Jesus talking. He said, hey, broad is the gate, and wide is the road that leads to destruction, and many find it, but narrow is the gate, and difficult is the way that leads to life, and only a few find it. And we cross-referenced that word, the way, with John, where it talking in the Gospel of John, where Jesus talks about, I am the way, I am the truth, I am the life. And we kind of talked about things from a biblical perspective, and that's really kind of my heart today for you as well. And it, really, as Christians, I believe that we are bound to Scripture. Do you agree with me? We're not bound to tradition. We're not bound to the recent fads. We aren't bound to what culture is telling us. Like, I don't know if you realize this, but culture is constantly changing. Like, what was cool yesterday isn't cool today. You guys remember the starter jackets back in the 90s? Those were really cool back in the 90s, but now if you see someone, actually went to, for work the other day, we went to, on a business, we were visiting businesses, and a gal at a gas station was wearing a starter jacket, and I'm like, you know what, that was cool back in the 90s, but it isn't so cool now, and I'm like, you're wearing a starter jacket, and it's like 100 degrees out, I don't get it, but what's cool at one time isn't cool now, and so things are always changing, things are always morphing, culture's always changing, culture's always morphing, but God's word is the same, and God's word is true. And in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16, Paul is talking to Timothy, and he says, all scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness, so that the servant of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. I love that passage of scripture. We're going to read it again. All scripture is God-breathed. That's awesome, isn't it? It's useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness, so that the servant of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. And so really the purpose of this series is to try to give you guys a biblical perspective on some things that are maybe being wrestled with right now. You know, I have a friend that I was very close with for a long time. We served in ministry for a long time together. And I reached out to him a while ago, and I found out that he had left the faith. He was still kind of a Christian, but he had left the faith, and he had become a progressive Christian. I don't know if you've heard of that word progressive before, but it's someone that really believes that inspiration has gone beyond the Bible, and that God has continued to reveal himself. And really, one of the interesting things that progressives believe is they believe that the church itself should be done away with as we know it. They think that the church is bad. They think the church should be removed. And they, if someone is a progressive, more than likely they're not connected to any church body. And so I was talking to him, and it kind of threw me for a loop, because he was someone that served in ministry with me for such a long time. And man, I was the youth pastor. He was the kids pastor. We served with each other every Sunday morning. He played the drums and the bass. He was a great drummer. And we served on Sunday nights together. Remember some Sunday night church? Yay, amen, praise the Lord. And praise the Lord. Bring it back. Yeah, thanks, Vernon. And so Wednesday night stuff. And it was just weird to me to hear that he really thinks that the church should be done away with. And the more that I've talked with people, the more that I realize that that isn't something that's isolated in a silo. That's something that is going around right now. That's something that people are pushing right now. And I've heard some common reasons why people say that church should be done away with. Some people say that that church is lame. How many of you guys have heard that before? Church is lame. It's boring. I fall asleep. Some people say the preacher is lame. How many of you guys have heard that? Don't raise your hand. Don't you dare. Don't you dare raise your hand. Oh, my goodness. We're going to talk after this. Too busy. Church takes up my weekend. One thing that I've heard, too, is that the church hurt me. Church hurt. Another thing that I've heard as well is that I don't need to be a Christian and go to church. And so what I want to do today is... And maybe I'm just literally preaching to the choir today. Maybe I'm preaching. Maybe there's some people listening online. But really what I want to do is I want to give you a little bit of a perspective on why it's important for you to be a part of a church body. Let me say that one more time. Why it's important for you to be a part of a church body. Why it's important. Because, again, I feel like you go around, you can talk to a lot of people, you can... Maybe you've heard different reasons why people are not connected, but I want to give you a biblical reason why it is so important to be a part of a church body. And so if you're taking notes, which I hope you are, because I just gave you something to take notes on, if you go back to the New Testament, you can see that the word that is often used for church is the word ecclesia. Can you guys say ecclesia? Ecclesia. And ecclesia means to be called out. Ecclesia means to be called out. It means to be called out. It means to assemble. It means to congregate. In fact, the Greek word ecclesia is the basis for the English word, maybe you've heard the word ecclesiastical. Or ecclesiology, it comes from the same word. In Acts chapter 11, verse 26, when Barnabas and Saul met with the church in Antioch, that church there is the ecclesia. In 1 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 9, when Paul says that the church had been persecuted, he's speaking of the ecclesia, to being called out to assembly, to congregate. It's a spot where we have been called out of darkness and into his marvelous light. You know, it's interesting because we as the church, we are of the world. Or we are in the world, but we are not of the world. Amen? You guys agree with me? We are in the world, but we are not of the world. And God wants to make us different. Did you realize that this morning? We talked about this a few weeks ago, where we are called to be salt. We are called to be light. We are called to be an encouragement. We're called to be people that are called out. We're called to be different. And so ecclesia is the gathering of believers. It's the calling out. It's interesting because I think sometimes when we think about the word church or we think about the word ecclesia, we think about maybe the building. We look at the building. We're like, wow, this is a great building with the pews and with the fancy lights and with our fancy fans and with, I don't know, all the cool things. And you know, I could share stories about how the church was built back in 1948, and how there was a revival that took place over across the street, and some guys got together and they decided to plant the church, and they needed so much money, and there was this this farmer who had some damage on his farm, and he got some insurance money, and it was just the amount of money that we needed to get the church started back in 1948. Isn't that crazy? And then, actually, Don could probably give me a much better history, or Ken could give me a much better history. I think back in the 70s, we built out in this beautiful sanctuary that we're sitting in now. Amen. Praise the Lord. Give the Lord a hand. Thank you so much. But it's interesting because when you think about the word ecclesia, it's really not about the building. Did you realize that? It's not about the building. We're the church when we come together. We're the church when we're called out. We're the church when we're light in a dark place. We're the church when we get together on Wednesday nights and we eat donuts and we laugh and we get on rabbit trails and we're supposed to talk about one thing and we end up talking about something else. We're the church when we do that. We're the church when the students get together and they drive Pastor Nate crazy. They run around, they scream, they yell, whatever. We're the church when we do that on Wednesday nights. Church is happening right now downstairs with the kids as they worship the Lord, as they go to their mission board, as they talk about the missionary things that are happening, as they eat their snacks, as they do their bathroom time. That's church that's happening down there right now. Did you guys realize that? Did you guys realize that it's church when the ladies met yesterday at the Mitten Cafe and had some food and hung out and talked about the Word of God? That's church that's happening right there. Did you guys realize that church is going to be happening this Saturday when the men are getting together and they're going to eat some bacon and eggs and, I don't know, pancakes or muffins or, well, I don't even know what we can eat. But church is going to happen this Saturday when we get together and we eat together and we share together. And actually, Randall shared at our last men's breakfast. Can we give him a hand? He did a fantastic job. And so that's church. When we get together at the Desi's house on Wednesday at 6:30, Lord permitting, weather permitting, and we jump in the pool and trash their house and run through their garden, that's church. That's what's happening. Like, it's us being called out. When we get together about a month from now and we serve people selflessly, we give backpacks away to people that are in need, we cut hair for people, we pray for people, we share the gospel with people, we do things with no strings attached, guess what? We're being called out. That's what the church is all about. It's not about the building, but it's about the people. If this building burned down tomorrow, please, Lord, don't let it happen. But if it burned down, although we're insured, although if it burned down tomorrow, and we met tomorrow, when we met next week in the Home Depot parking lot in a tent, that would be church that would be happening. We are the people. We're called out. So I just wanted to define that real quick, the church, the church, the church. So a couple thoughts for you. I think we have four spots for you to fill in today. So why is it important for you to be a part of a church body? And again, perhaps I'm talking to the choir today, but why is it important for you to be part of the church body? The first thing that I want you to write down is we have the example of Jesus Christ. We have the example of Jesus Christ. Why to be part of a church body? We have the example of Jesus Christ. In Luke chapter 4, verse 16, Jesus is getting ready to start his earthly ministry. He had went out into the wilderness. He had been tempted for 40 days and for 40 nights. He had had an interaction with the devil. He gets back, and it says this in Acts chapter 4, verse 16. He said, he went to Nazareth, where he had been brought up, and on the Sabbath day, he went into the synagogue as was his custom. Can you guys say custom? As was his custom. Custom means it's a tradition, it's a widely accepted way of behavior, it is something or doing something a specific way or a particular way, doing something with in a specific place or time. Man, I think if we want to grow in our faith, if you want to grow in your faith, I think we need to make a spiritual habit or custom of being with believers and being connected with the church. For a moment, think about all the things that Jesus could have been doing at that moment. He had limited time. He had only a few disciples. He could have been out healing or preaching or walking on water or raising people from the dead, but he took time, as was his custom, on the Sabbath day to go into the synagogue. Think about that for a moment. If Jesus, the sinless, spotless, perfect, truly God, truly man, 100% God, 100% man, Son of God, valued the importance of regular worship with other people, how much more should we do that as well? You know, it's interesting because I feel like habits are powerful, aren't they? Customs are powerful. Traditions are powerful. Like, it takes a while to develop a habit, but it just takes a moment to break a habit. Now, I remember when COVID was here. How many of you guys remember COVID-19? Raise your hand, right? Amen, praise the Lord. Oh, my goodness, can't believe it was already 5 years ago. But I can remember it was kind of weird because we closed the doors for a month or two or 3 months, and I remember we ended up open back up the doors, and we lost quite a few people. And I remember reaching out to some people, and they're like, man, it's just really hard for me to get back into the habit of coming to church. Man, habits can be powerful. Habits can be difficult to break. But look at it. We can follow Jesus' example, number one. Number two, if you're still taking notes, why it's important to be connected to a body of believers. First of all, we have the example of Jesus. Second of all, it's a place to grow and give. Can you guys say grow? Say it one more time. Grow. Give. Grow. Say it like you mean it. Grow. Grow and give. It's a place to grow and give. Thank you, Vernon. It provides a place for us to grow and provides a place for us to give. A few months ago, the men went to, it was a men's conference at Brightmoor. And I missed the Friday, unfortunately, but I went to the Saturday, and I went and really enjoyed it. A guy actually preached a message on wrestling with God, and he gave the illustration of wrestling with his dad in the living room, and it was just a really interesting message. And then the guy afterwards, there was two speakers. The guy afterwards actually spoke from a passage of scripture that when the Israelites, after they came out of the wilderness and they were getting ready to cross the Jordan, it says that Joshua, at that moment, decided to circumcise all the men who hadn't been circumcised yet. Okay? And I've read that passage of scripture before. I think we've actually wrestled with that on a Wednesday night before. And ironically, that's a passage of scripture that I've always wanted to preach on, but I never have. And but to think this, the Joshua saying that all these people needed to now be circumcised who hadn't been circumcised in the wilderness. And so I'm listening to these messages and I'm just loving it. I'm taking notes. I'm enjoying it. I'm loving it. I'm like, oh my goodness, I can't believe that this guy is actually preaching from this passage of scripture, and I'm thinking about all the different angles that he's talking through, and I'm taking notes, and I'm putting it in my phone, and I'm cross-referencing what he's saying to other passages in the Old Testament and passages in the New Testament. And man, it was just an amazing time for me to just sit back and grow. And how many of you guys know, sometimes we need to sit down and we need to grow. Like, sometimes we need to come and we need to sit in the pew and just take in what the Lord has for us. You know, it's like, okay, so Pastor Evan is talking about faith today, and I'm going to sit back, and I'm just going to receive what he has for me, because I need to grow in my faith today. My spirit needs to be encouraged in faith today. Or maybe there's a sermon on I don't know, what's something else that I've spoken about? Maybe I'm talking about community, or maybe I'm talking about hope, and you're like, man, I just really need to refix my hope on Jesus, and maybe I'm talking about something. You're sitting there and you're just receiving what I said. Or last week when I was talking about how Jesus brings life now and life later, maybe you're sitting in the pew and you're like, praise the Lord, this is exactly what I needed to hear. I needed to know that God brings life, because I'm living in a dead and a difficult spot in my life, and I just need to be encouraged in my faith. I need to be built up in my faith. And praise the Lord, we come to church to grow. Amen. We come to church to listen. We come to church not to be on our phone and scan, going through Facebook. I mean, if you are, that's okay. But we come to, like, iron sharpening iron. We come to be developed. We come to mature. We come to learn new things. Are you guys with me this morning? Hopefully that's you guys here this morning. And you come and you bring your kids. You send your kids downstairs, and your kids go downstairs. And you're hoping that they're not just, you know, throwing candy at them and throwing crackers at them. But you're really hoping that as they're downstairs, there is some God things that are happening down there. Like, church is happening up here, but church is happening downstairs too, right? And so you come and you're investing in that, and you want to grow, and you want your kids to grow. And Wednesday nights we come together and we wrestle through the book of Revelation for a year and a half, and now we're wrestling through the different councils that have taken place since the first century. And so we're coming and we're growing and we're growing, and hopefully you look at yourself and you're like, man, this is where I was. But this is where I am now. Like, I'm going on a path, and I'm maturing in my faith. And although at one time maybe I was on milk, but now I'm coming along, and I feel like I'm starting to get on maybe some more solid food. And our goal is that the Lord is continually sanctifying you. Amen? Like, you're justified when you come into a relationship with Jesus Christ. You're justified, praise the Lord. And you come into a right relationship with him. That's awesome. But then it's a step-by-step sanctification where you're growing in your faith. Right? Is anyone else, we come to grow, right? Thank you, Melissa, for the one clap. I appreciate it. We come to grow in our faith, hopefully, right? We come together to grow in our faith, and it's so much more encouraging when there's other people. Like, have you ever tried to just, like, study on your own, and you're like, yeah, okay, that's cool, and then turn on the TV, turn on YouTube, you start watching YouTube golf, and like 10 hours later, you're like, wow, I have to get up in 15 minutes. Anyone else is like, you just get distracted. You get distracted. And it's really cool when we come together, because it focuses us, right? But we come together to grow. And hopefully you feel like, since you've been here with us, that you've grown in your faith, you've developed in your faith. You weren't the way that you were when you first came. Like, that's the goal. Like, it's funny, because when I come up with my sermon series for the entire year, I plot it out precisely with a purpose in mind, to take you on a journey, to take you from one spot to the next. We come to grow. We come to grow, and hopefully you guys come to grow, and hopefully you don't just come to not grow. But also, this is interesting, I think sometimes we miss the second part of this. We come to grow, but we also come to give. Did you know this morning that every good and perfect gift comes from above, coming down from the Father of heavenly lights? So everything that you've been gifted with, your good looks, your amazing beard, your abilities on the bass, your administrative abilities, your wonderful smile, your weird personality, your... every good and perfect gift comes down from the Father of heavenly lights, right? Every gift. We've been gifted. We've been gifted to be cool, maybe, I don't know, but we've been gifted. But think about this for a minute. We have been gifted to give. Have you thought about that this morning? You have been gifted to give. In 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 12 through 14, it says, Paul is speaking to the church, and he says, just as, and he relates us to a body. He's talking to a body of believers. He says, just as a body, though one, has many parts, but all of its parts form one body, so it is with Christ. For you are all baptized by one Spirit, so also to form one body, whether Jews or Gentiles, slaves or free. And we were all given the one Spirit to drink. Even so, the body is made up of one part, but of many. And then in verse 26 and 27, it says, if one part suffers, every part suffers with it. If one part is honored, every part rejoices with it. Now you are the body of Christ, and each of you has its own part. Did you know that you're gifted? But you're not gifted just to be gifted, but you're gifted to give. The church is a spot for you to go and to grow, but it's also a spot for you to give what you've been gifted. I know sometimes we stop at the first. We're like, I'm going to come and I'm going to grow, and that's it. But God has called you with your specific gifts to this church body to do more than just grow. He's called you to give. Does that make sense? There's an interesting parable where it talks about a man who goes on a journey. And when he goes on the journey, he entrusts his servants with some money, talent of money. He entrusts one servant one talent. He entrusts another servant three talents. And he entrusts another servant five talents. The one who had been given one, or the one who had been given five, went out, and he's like, ah, great. Goes out, and he makes five more. The one who has the three goes out, and he makes three more. And then the one who has one was like, I know my master's a hard man, so he buries it in the ground. Now, it's interesting because I would argue that most of us, when we read this parable, would argue that we are maybe the five talent or the three talent person. Right? Maybe. But it's interesting because it's like, I can almost think like the dude who had the one talent. Like, I don't have much to give. I don't have much to offer, so I'm just going to bury it in the ground and give it back to the Lord when he returns. All I have is a nice smile or a weird personality or whatever. Like, this is all I have. But man, God has called us to be people that are faithful with what we have. And when we're faithful with what we have, he will multiply what we have. The church is a place to grow, but it's also a place to give. Okay? You with me? If you're with me, say amen. If you're not with me, say no, no, no. Perfect. All right. Example of Jesus Christ. To grow and to give. Did someone just say no, no, no? Okay, to grow and to give. Okay. All right. Third. Why consider, okay, for your children, if you have kids. Your children. Did you know that there's a battle that's raging right now? And it's a battle that's raging for your family. And if we do not provide a safe place, a good place for them to know about God, faith, moral, and ethics, the world will definitely step into that void for them. The church is a place where you should feel comfortable to bring your kids. It's a place where you can place a firm foundation. In Proverbs chapter 22, it says, train up a child in the way that he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. It gives us this pattern. In Deuteronomy chapter 6, it says, Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind, with all your strength. These commandments that I give you today are to be on your hearts. Impress them on your children. Talk about them when you sit at home and when you walk along the road, when you lie down and when you get up. Tie them as symbols on your hands and bind them on your foreheads. Write them on the door frames of your houses and on your gates. Like, literally, he's saying, I want you to decorate your house to point things to Jesus. I think I talked about this before, but God sees generationally. Did you realize that? God sees generationally. Like, he sees you, but he also sees past you. He sees you with your talents and your gifts and your things, but he also sees past you. We are planting spiritual seeds for your kids. The last point. So number one, the example of Jesus. Number two, to grow, to give. Number three, for your kids. Number four, community. One of our core values, community. It connects you to the body of Christ and to a community of believers. It gives you a place to belong. In Hebrews chapter 10, verses 23 through 25, it says, let us hold unswervingly. What does that mean, unswervingly? You got to go straight, yeah. Let us hold unswervingly to the hope we profess. For he who promised is faithful. And let us consider how we may spur one another on towards love and good deeds, not giving up meeting together, as some are in the habit of doing, but encouraging one another, and all the more as we see the day, the capital D, the day approaching. I think you have to remember that in this passage, the writer of Hebrews is writing to a church that had been persecuted. Many Christians had been martyred because of their faith. Stephen had been stoned. Many of the disciples had been put to death. I mean, this seems like this might have been a good time for them to maybe take a couple weeks off, or a good time for them maybe not to come together and not be the church and not to be called out and not to gather together. This would have been the perfect opportunity to do this. But in writing the church, the persecuted first century church, he's telling them to come out and to meet together, not to isolate, because they belonged to the body of Christ. There's something special when we come together. There's something special when we come together for one purpose. You know, in Scripture it says there only has to be two, but where two or more are gathered, he's here in our midst. His presence is here in our midst. You know, there's something cool about watching online, but there's something supernatural when you're here in the presence of God and in the presence of other believers. Where iron is sharpening iron, the community. You're talking to someone that's gone through something, and they're like, you know what, I actually went through something like that too. When you're sharing with someone and they're like, you know what, hold on, I'm going to pray for you. I'm going to pray for you right now because that seems like a difficult thing that you're going through. When you have people that you can reach out to when you're going to have back surgery, when you have people that you can lean on, people that you can be encouraged with, when you can talk with someone, when you can pray with someone, man, the benefit of community. I think that's why in Genesis chapter 2, after, and the worship team can strum, after God had created everything, the heavens and the earth and their vast array, he looked down on mankind and says, you know what? Everything else is good, but it's not good for man to be alone. He has wired us to be together. With all of our faults, with all of our quirks, with all of our mix-ups, with all of our stupid things that we say sometimes, with all of our... sometimes I say the dumbest things, like, I don't know. You know what I'm talking about. But there's power in community. You're not meant to be an island. You're not meant to be alone. When I think about my progressive friend who says that he thinks that the church should cease to exist anymore, I said, you know, I can understand where you're coming from. But instead of destroying the church, I think the church just needs a revival, you know? I think it's encouraging because Barna recently did a study and they said that attendance records in churches were actually kind of steadily declining. And then when 2020 hit, they really dropped. In fact, they said that about a third of the church dropped off. But what's interesting is they've found since then that they've seen an increases. I was talking to Nino, who is our missionary over at the U of M, and he was saying, you know what's really crazy about these kids that are coming in now? He's like, these kids are hungry for the Word of God. These kids are hungry for something new. These kids are thirsty for change. These kids don't want to just go with what culture is doing, but they really delve into the Word. And you can see that, again, with Barna, attendance, 2020, it's coming back up again, which is cool. I think God is raising up his remnant. And so, man, you know, maybe people have asked you that question, or maybe you've been struggling with that question. Why should you be involved? And I guess I want to encourage you, again, the 4 points. We have the example of Jesus to grow and to give. To grow and to give. I lost my notes. For your children and for community. Lord, we come before you today. We thank you for the truth of your word. We just thank you so much that you're here in our presence. We thank you that you've given us the gift of community. We thank you that you've given us the gift of ecclesia, of the church, of your bride, Father. And we know that one day you're going to come back for your bride. One day you're going to come back on the clouds and call us to you. And Father, we just thank you for that blessed hope. Today, Father, I pray, maybe there's some people that have been struggling with being connected somewhere. Maybe they've been struggling with finding a church body, a church home, a spot to call their own, Father. And today, I just pray through just the anointing of your Spirit this morning, Father, that you'll lead them home. You'll lead them to a place where they belong, because there's a spot there where they are meant to grow, and there's also a spot that where they are meant to give, and there's a spot where they're meant to be a part of a community, Father. And God, we just thank you for the blessing of your church. And today, as we sing this song one more time, Father, I just pray that your Spirit will speak to us. I pray that you'll encourage us. I pray that you'll minister to us, God. I pray that you will be exalted, that you will be lifted high, God. I thank you for this church. I thank you for the believers that are here. I thank you for the gifts that are here. I thank you for the word that is here, Father. I thank you for the mission that you've called us to. I thank you that that you're faithful and that you're true, Father. And as we sing this song one more time, may you minister in your holy name.